We turn in God's Word tonight to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, we'll begin reading at verse 19, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. The text tonight is verses 25 through 32. And I ask that you pay attention to those verses as we read the chapter. I will not be rereading those verses. This is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which begins in Matthew 5. And we begin reading at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now begins the text. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Thus far, we read God's Word. I begin tonight a short series on personal finances as Jesus gives instruction to these things in His earthly ministry, and that's what I would like to focus on in this series. Obviously, there are many other passages that speak about finances and money, but in this short series, I want to point out some of the passages in which Jesus gives instruction concerning these matters. I do that somewhat as a follow-up to what we consider in the eighth commandment of God's law. We recently had a sermon on that. And our view of money and stewardship, especially in regard to that commandment, thou shalt not steal. There are many other things that we can and should look at in the Scriptures, and I believe tonight that this is an important series for us to consider and for us to hear. It's important for us, first of all, from this point of view. When you look at Jesus' ministry and the instruction that He gave in His earthly ministry, there is much instruction that He gives concerning money and finances. When you begin to look at the passages, you find one after another after another. Not only that, but even in Jesus' parables, where the focus is not so much on money in the essence and the main teaching of the parable, yet in those parables, Jesus uses the figure, the picture of money to teach something about His kingdom. So this was something that Jesus had on His mind in the day in which He lived to teach His people then and to teach us yet today. But we have to look at this in a right way. In Jesus' instruction, He gives to us principles. He gives to us the proper perspective of money and possessions. I'm not going to preach sermons to you along these lines, like 12 steps to financial success, as some might preach it today. That's not what Jesus gave in His ministry. But what He gave in His ministry is a right view towards money and possessions for us who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And I believe that this word of Jesus in the text that we consider tonight and the other passages that we will consider as well is important for us today. Now, we have to understand that rightly. I don't say it's important for us today simply because of the more difficult economic times in which we find ourselves. So that's what makes it important. Well, it is important, but it's just as important when things are going well, if not more important then, because we can take things for granted, and because there's more, we maybe are not as structured as we ought to be in our finances, in the use of the things that God has given to us. But what happens is when there are financial struggles and economic hardships, the disobedience that we have had in regard to our finances, especially in those times that comes out, when we're not taking as much in, and we've not been instructed and obedient as we should have been in our finances, that becomes exposed when things are not going as well. So, in that regard, it's important for us to hear what the Word of God has to say about our personal finances. Secondly, I believe this is important because whenever Jesus gives instruction about finances and money, He gives instruction that sets before us the truth about who God is. This is not just some practical series that has nothing to do with God. We should not look at it that way. But in fact, it's a series that has everything to do with God. The passage that we consider tonight shows that. The basis for the commands that Jesus gives here when He says, take no thought for tomorrow. And the positive command really that comes out of that, trust in the Lord. The basis of that is the very heart of who God is. He's the sovereign God and the God who loves us. So what we're looking at in this series is what our theology and what the theology of the Word of God then has to say about our finances. And that's what we have to consider in all of our lives. What the Word of God and what the truth of who God is, what that says to us about every aspect of our lives. And so it's important that we see our finances in relationship to God. That we see our checkbooks in relationship to God. That we see our debit cards or our credit cards and our cash in relationship to God. Because we are His people. And all that we have has come from His hand. And God teaches us in His Word, even through the ministry of Jesus Christ, that money and possessions are to be used then in the service of God. And God is our sovereign God, in fact, speaks very powerfully through money, especially when He takes things away from us. He uses money to test our faith, to strengthen our faith. So we must see our money and our finances in relationship to God. I believe it's good for us then, for a short time, although we certainly hear sermons about finances and the principles of the Word of God towards finances from time to time, I believe it's good for a period of time, although a short series, to focus on this aspect of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Tonight, we begin our series by looking at the relationship between faith and finances. We see that it's our calling in regard to our finances to trust in God and not to worry. Beloved, understand tonight that there's good news for you and for me. The good news for us tonight is not that all of the bad news about the economy, that's suddenly changing and making a turnaround. I'm not here to predict the future. I'm not here to predict what's going to happen in the economy, what's going to happen in regard to your own personal finances. But the good news that is before us tonight is this. Our God is sovereign. Our God is in control. Not only that, but our God, He loves us. And He works all things together for our good. So if you're struggling to make ends meet, if you're struggling financially, if you're struggling in your job, if things aren't going now how they have been going in the past, or if it's always been that way for you, or if you have much, the good news is still the same. God is sovereign, and God does all for our good. And that's the basis for our trusting in Him for these things. So I call your attention to this tonight. Trusting in God for what we need. That's the instruction that Jesus gives to us in this text. First of all, here understand that Jesus rebukes wrong attitudes. Secondly, Jesus sets before us the one in whom we place our trust. And then finally, we see in this regard the promised blessings that there are for the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. In the text, Jesus is addressing the relationship between faith and finances. Jesus is addressing essentially this question in the text. Do you trust in your heavenly Father to supply all your needs? Jesus addresses this in the way of a command that focuses on the negative when he says, take no thought for your life. And take no thought later on, he says, for the morrow. Jesus there is saying in those words, do not worry. Do not be anxious. Don't be afraid concerning those things that you need. Jesus is talking about the basic necessities of life here. He's talking about food and drink and clothing and shelter. And he's saying about these things, don't worry about these things. Well, what is this worry? How do we know if we have worry about these things? Well, we have worry about these things if we're constantly dwelling on these questions. What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we put on? And the idea is that thoughts about these things consume us. We go to bed with this on our minds. We maybe even toss and turn in our beds when we consider this. How are we going to pay for that? How are we going to be able to do this? That's worry. That's anxiety towards these things. These things become a focus in life so that they consume our attention instead of God Himself. The one who is worried about these things is stressed about these things. And the one who is worried then is not applying faith in God in this particular circumstance of life. And Jesus says about this, don't worry about these things. And Jesus' diagnosis of this as well is, the reason for it is that ye are of little faith. That's what Jesus says in verse 31. He says, oh ye of little faith. Sorry, it's not in verse 31. It's at the end of verse 30 when he says, O ye of little faith. Jesus is saying here that those who worry, it's not that they don't have faith. It's that in this area, this particular moment, their faith is weak. We must understand this concretely. Where there may be uncertainty for you in your lives, where there may be uncertainty in regard to your job, where you see costs increasing, but your wages are not increasing at the same rate. Where you see that your hours are cut back. When you maybe think about the future and planning for the future, and you'd like to plan for the future, but there's nothing left over with which to use for the future and to plan for the future. And these things in which we might worry, Jesus addresses that and says, don't worry. Don't be anxious. Trust
in the Lord. That's the positive command that comes out here then. That we are to trust in our Heavenly Father for all things that we need. Jesus here in the text turns our direction towards God, towards who He is and what He has done. He says, put your faith in the sovereign, powerful God in regard to personal finances. Lay hold on the truth of who God is. Live out your theology in this part of your lives when it comes to your own personal finances. We must depend upon Him. Later in Matthew 7, Jesus says, well, pray. Pray about these things. In verse 7 of chapter 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And then later on, He talks about those who need bread. What man is there of you whom if the son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them who ask Him? So part of that faith is expressed by bringing these things before God. But as we look at this, and we all know that our calling in regard to the necessities of life is that we trust in God and not worry. We know it. But yet, it can be a struggle for us. And it can be a very real struggle because we have a wrong perspective of money and finances and our possessions. And Jesus here in the text puts His finger on that when He addresses this matter of trusting in our Heavenly Father for all things that we need. Jesus here addresses wrong attitudes towards personal finances. Understand why it is that we worry. Why do we worry about things? Well, the reason that we worry is because in our own minds, we've elevated money and possessions to a position much higher than they ought to be in our lives. That's not my perception. That's what Jesus Himself brings out here in the text. That comes out when He says at the end of verse 25, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Jesus is putting His finger on a sin that so easily creeps into our own thinking and into our own hearts. And that is that the things of this earth, money and possessions, become much more important to us than they ought to be according to what we are in Jesus Christ. So tonight we must consider that. We must examine ourselves. Do we have a wrong view of money and possessions and finances at certain times and at certain moments in our lives? Is this why we are worrying? Have we been influenced by the world in these things? Jesus brings this out in a couple of ways. That we've given such a high priority to things that we ought not to do. He brings that out, first of all, in the very beginning of the text, when He talks about, take no thought for your life. When He uses that term life there, your life, He's talking about the basic necessities of life. That's evident in the questions that follow. He's talking about food and drink and clothing here. He's talking about the basic necessities of life that we have. But understand, beloved, in the world in which we live, there's been a blurring of a distinction between needs and wants. In the world in which we live, and often in our own language, we use the two in the same way. Or many times we've replaced the word wants with the word needs. That's the world in which we live. The world says to you and I, in all of its commercials, and all of its advertising and so on, you need this. You need it. That's why you ought to buy it. That's what the world is trying to portray. And by the way, as a side note, we have to be very careful in watching those things. and taking in all kinds of the commercials on the television. That's another way that Satan is attacking the church and feeding the sin of covetousness that is found within each one of us. But we take notice of the fact that there's a blurring, maybe even in our own thinking, of that distinction between need and want. A need is a basic necessity of life. Basic food. Basic clothing. Basic shelter. May I include with that basic transportation. Included with that too, tuition. Paying tuition so that our children receive a good Christian education. These are needs that we have. But wants, they're something different. A want is something that improves the comfort and quality of life over and above needs. Wants are those things that improve the comfort and quality of life over and above the needs that we have. Well, in the world in which we live, the world has taken the idea of needs and elevated that and said, no, you need much more than just basic food and clothing and shelter, basic transportation. No, you need a certain kind of car. And maybe the world says, well, you can't get along without a cell phone. Sometimes I say that in catechism to the young people. You can live without a cell phone. It's hard for them to believe me, I think, sometimes. We can live without those things. We can live without a lot of things that we have in our lives. We have so many things in our homes, in our lives, that are wants and not needs. And the world has set an unbiblically high standard for what needs are. But Jesus addresses that here in the text, and he says, is not life more than meat and the body than raiment? Jesus is saying here that things in our lives must be put in their proper rank and in their proper place. And what he's saying is in connection with worry, if we're worried about these things, what that indicates is that these things have been elevated too high in our own minds and in our hearts. You see, the problem of worry is a problem of worship. It's what we worship. It's what we think that we truly need. You see, even in regard to earthly things, the things that we need, why do we need them? Well, we need them only so that we can have strength, so that we can have a certain level of comfort, so that we can serve our God, the God of our salvation. Understand that the problem for us then is not how much or how little of the things of this earth that we have. A problem that we have is not losing our job, but the problem that Jesus addresses here in regard to our money and finances is that we are set on the wrong things. And that's the context here as well of what Jesus is saying in Matthew 6. Look at verses 19 through 21, where he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Why? Well, those things are corrupted, where moth and rust doth corrupt. The thieves break through and steal. But instead, he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Then he talks about, verse 24, serving two masters, God and them. Can't do it. The idea is we must be singular and focused in serving God and see the things of this earth, necessities and wants, in the light of that. Understand that when we're filled with worry about the things of this life, then our focus is on mammon and not on God. This is what we must apply to our finances then, day by day. And we understand as well that Jesus, our Savior, has come to deliver us from this bondage, so that if we're thinking in this way, we become bondage to money and possessions. Jesus Christ has freed us from that. He's given to us the riches that we truly need. Now, as Jesus puts his finger on this priority that money and finances and even basic necessities can become in our lives. This has a trickle-down effect to other aspects of our lives when it comes to finances and looking at what the world says to us today about those things. The world in which we live today judges a man's success by a man's wealth. For the world, life consists in an abundance of things. Financial success is judged by the clothes one wears, the car one drives, the job one has, the education he has received. And we have to ask ourselves, how have we been affected by these things? Do we measure ourselves in the same way in which the world does? That's the way the world looks at it. That's not the way God looks at it, and that's not the way Jesus Christ looks at it. The way we are to look at it is that we are rich, no matter how much or how little of the things of this earth we have, we're rich in Jesus Christ. And this as well must be applied to spending. The world says today, if you want it, buy it. You don't even need the money for it. Your buying ability is only limited, the world says, by your credit limits. Your spending can be determined by how much credit you have. Or your spending may be determined by how much even you take in. But is that what the Bible says? The world says that. So if you want it, go ahead and get it. You understand, that's a wrong focus. The Bible says that we must use all that we have to serve God. The purpose for our purchases is to serve God. Here's a new way to reconcile our bank statements. Not just whether it matches with our own records, but what was my purpose for buying this? What was my purpose for buying this? And write on down the line. Trusting in God means that we must see our finances in the light of who God is. And this applies as well to the way in which we acquire money and the things of this earth. The world, because it's focused on these things, will use unlawful and wrong ways to acquire these things. Theft, gambling, and the lottery. There's an emphasis today in the world as well upon these get-rich-quick schemes. You only have to work a few hours during the day. You can work from your home. You can work in your pajamas. Just have a computer in front of you for a few hours. And you can make all these tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars. Or the world in which we live will work on the Sabbath day. Or they have double incomes, mother and father both working, so that they can get the things that they want and maybe the things that they think that they need. Beloved, again, how has this affected us? Have we so elevated the things of this earth in our own thinking that we as well are willing to disobey the word and the commands of God to get the things that we think we need? Or even to get the things that we do need? Well, we disobey the word of God to do that. The word of God says about this, the mother's place is to work in the home with her children. That's a full-time job to care for the children that God has given. We must make sure that we do not fall into our own ways and think we're going to find our own way to get the things of this earth. And then understand as well that this applies to work itself. The world in which we live works not only to supply their needs, but to fund their recreation and to have financial security for the future. The question for us is, why do we work? Well, we work because God commands it. We work as well to supply the needs of our homes, yes, and also to give to the kingdom. To give to the kingdom. That's why it should be, men, that you go to work every morning and do the work that God's given you. God's commanded it, yes, but also to supply, first and foremost, the needs of the home and the causes of the kingdom. We don't work for an abundance of things. God may give that. And we can be thankful for the abundance that He gives. But even that we have to see in the light of the Word of God and who God is. Jesus says, in trusting in God for these things, we must not elevate these things in our own thinking, in our own attitudes. But Jesus here in the text draws our attention to God. He is the one in whom we place our trust. We see that in verse 32 especially as he comes to the conclusion of what he is teaching here in this section, when he says, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." We are to put our trust in Him. And we are to put our trust in Him for two reasons. We're taught two things about who God is. The first reason is, He loves us. The second reason is, He is sovereign. The focus of the text is knowing God's love for us. Jesus points that out in a very powerful way as He points us to the creation. Jesus says, beginning in verse 26, "Behold." And that word "behold," Jesus is saying, "Look with me at something. I'm going to point out something very important to you." He says, "Behold, behold this. First of all, behold the birds, the fowls of the air," He says. "For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." The birds don't plant crops. They don't even store any food ahead of time. Yet God provides everything that they need day by day. Then Jesus says, "Consider the lilies of the field and the grass, even the grass. Behold their beauty." It's going to be hard for us to imagine right now in the dead of winter, but think about the flowers that spring up in the spring. Think about the grass all lush and green. Think about the beauty of that. And we look forward to seeing those things. And Jesus says, look at the beauty, because remember where that beauty came from. The beauty of the lilies, the beauty of the grass, that's come from God Himself. So the point is this. Are you not much better than they? That's what Jesus asks in verse 26. Are ye not much better than they? In verse 28, "And why take ye thought for raiment then?" He says again in verse 32, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." The idea here is that this truth must take hold of us. This truth must grip us. Our Father loves us. Our God cares for the birds of the air. Our God cares for the lilies and the grass. If He takes care of them, will He not also take care of us? Will He not? The idea here is that there's an argument from the lesser to the greater. If He takes care of that which is lesser, will He not then certainly take care of that which is greater? Our Father did not spare His own Son for us, but delivered Him up for us all. Will He not then freely give to you and to me all that we need? Will He not give to us food and drink and raiment and transportation and that which is needed so our children receive a good Christian education? How foolish for us not to trust in Him. This exposes my worry. How foolish when I worry about these things. The focus of the passage is the love of our Heavenly Father for us. That's the name that Jesus speaks of here in the text. He's our Heavenly Father. He is our Heavenly Father because of the wonder of adoption. Because Jesus Christ, our Savior, paid the price so that we might be the sons and the daughters of God. We have the legal right to be called the children of God. As citizens of the kingdom of God, we're His children. That indicates His great love for us. In a very real way, Jehovah God is our Father. And that's the point of the passage. As your Father, He loves you. He loves you with a perfect love. A love that never changes. And a love that never fails. And in that love, He cares for His children. He provides for His children all things that they need. And He does this willingly. Are you worried? Are you afraid? Why is that? Well, it's not because we're dwelling upon our God and being assured of His love. It's because our attitude's not right towards money and possessions. It may be because we've been bad stewards of the things that God has provided for us. But now Jesus says, bring this into view. See the importance of this. You're children of the Heavenly Father. And apply that now to your finances. The other truth about God that's brought out here by Jesus is the sovereignty of God. Our God is the all-powerful, sovereign Father who cares for us. That truth is brought out in two ways in the text. The first is in verse 27. When Jesus asks this question, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? The question is this. Who of you can make yourself taller? Who can make yourself taller? Or, if there's some here who want to be shorter, who of you can make yourself shorter? Well, the answer is no one. God has formed us and created us, and He knows our exact height. Some are tall, some are short. We can't change that. God's the one who has determined that. God's the one who has controlled that. The emphasis is His power and His sovereignty. God is able to do these things. And that also is brought out in the word Heavenly Father. He's a Heavenly Father that shows the greatness of our Father. He's not like a father here on this earth. He's a Heavenly Father. He's a strong and powerful Father. He's a sovereign Father. Now that comes out in the other examples that Jesus uses too. He's able, He does feed the birds of the air. He is able to give beauty to the grass and to the lilies of the field. Knowing that, we know that our God, our Heavenly Father, is able to give to us the things that we need. So tonight, let us see our personal finances in relationship to the truth of God's sovereignty. God is the Almighty Ruler of the heavens and the earth. He is the one who controls all things that happen. That's what we read in Psalm 115, verse 3. Beautiful verse pointing out the sovereignty of God. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. That's the truth that Job acknowledged when things were taken away from him, his riches and his children. He said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And what Job indicates in that verse as well is that this sovereign God is the dispenser of all things. He provides all things that are needed. He gives to some much. He gives to others poverty. He takes things away suddenly. Think of the people in Haiti. Many of them were poor to begin with. Now, the few things that they had have been taken away by Him in that devastating earthquake. That shows us that God is in control of all things. He's in control right now, too, of what's happening in our country. What's happening in the economic climate today, where there's been job loss, where there's been loss of home value, bank failures, companies going out of business, all of that under God's control. Let's understand it personally, too. Your job, or lack thereof. You cannot sell your house, and you want to. Business is struggling. Things aren't like they used to be. Or, maybe things are going well. Maybe the economic downturn hasn't affected what you're doing. Whatever that may be, we see in regard to these things that our God is in control. And He has a purpose with all of it, to serve His sovereign purpose for the glory of His name. But understanding that, that means then that we must trust in Him to provide those things that we need. We must trust that He will provide and give all things. But what part of that trust is trusting that He will provide in the right way. I do not want to give you the idea that we simply just kind of wait and it's going to happen. If a man's without a job, he waits by the phone and hopes that phone rings and someone wants to hire him. Or that if a man's hours are cut, that he doesn't need to go out and find more work or something else. And understand the reality that those things are difficult to find in the place where we are right now economically. But trusting in God means trusting in the way that He provides. And the way in which He provides is in the way of working. Of working in a right way. Of working honestly for one's employer. The way of doing that in the right way, not working on the Sabbath day. Husband not sending his wife out to work. But instead he striving to supply the needs of his home and of his family. We have to be careful in this, that we're not driven by fear, that we're not driven by what we feel, but what we think we ought to do, but we must be guided by the Word of God in all of our financial decisions, and even in seeking to provide the things that are needed for our lives here on this earth. We live in a world today that's driven by fear. They're motivated by fear. They make decisions based on fear of what may happen, or they think may happen. We must not live that way. We must make our decisions based upon the authority of the Word of God. But so easily we can be driven by fear. We can be driven by emotions when we become worried, because in our worry, the things of this earth have become far too important to us. When if there's a change in work and so on, we don't want to cut back. We don't want to do without. So not only do we not want to go to the deacons, but we want to do everything in our own power to keep the standard of living that we're used to and that we want. And God says to us, is that right? Is that what you need to do? Are you going to let things slide and fall by the wayside, bills fall by the wayside, because you want your standard of living? That's an indication that things are out of rank, out of proportion in our own thinking. So Jesus says to us tonight, get it right in your thinking. God controls all things. All things are His. He'll take care of you. Trust in your Heavenly Father to provide. But also in regard to this, there are great blessings that are found for God's people. And those blessings have to be understood in the broader context of what Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount as He's teaching concerning the kingdom of heaven. God's purpose in giving to us what we need is so much higher than that we enjoy life here on this earth. It's not wrong to enjoy life here on this earth. And God certainly gives things that we may enjoy life here on this earth. But understand that God's purposes are so much higher than that. It's not about you or your happiness. But instead, the goal and the focus of God in everything that He does is heavenly life. It's His kingdom. His kingdom as it's found here on this earth, but then the fullness of that kingdom as it's revealed in the new heavens and the new earth. Jesus here in the text, understand, is speaking to citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And this kingdom is not on this earth. It's not an earthly kingdom. It is a heavenly kingdom. It's a kingdom in which there are amazing riches. Riches that go far beyond gold and silver, money, and the possessions of this earth. Treasures which moth and rust can't touch. Riches that are forever. The things of this earth, they fade away. One day they're all going to be gone. The things of this earth don't satisfy. No matter how much you have, you'll always want more. No matter how much the richest man in this world has, he's always going to want more. But in Jesus Christ, we have riches that satisfy. We have riches that don't fade away. And that's the heavenly perspective that we must have in regard to the things of this earth. These things fade away. Those don't. And the purpose of God in giving us the things of this earth then are so that they might be tools and instruments that would bring us, that would lead us to those riches that we have in Jesus Christ. Faith then understands that everything has an eternal purpose. Everything, including our finances, must be understood in the light of God's heavenly kingdom in which we have our citizenship. And so that teaches us then, all these things we have must be used in the service of this kingdom. That teaches us as well that God speaks powerfully through money. Beloved, in the day we live today, God speaks powerfully through money, through finances, and through the economy. He speaks powerfully about Himself as the Lord and the giver of all. He speaks powerfully to us as He tests our faith in these things too. He uses money to speak to us. That's part of our sovereign God. How different that is from a worldly perspective that sees money as my own. I earn it, I make it, it's mine to do with what I want. That's not the Christian's perspective. That's not our perspective. It's God's. He gave it to me. I use it in the service of Him. He may take it away, and He does that to try us, to strengthen our faith, so that more and more we learn to trust in Him, not only for the things of this life that we need, but to trust in Him for all things, even, and of course, for our salvation. So let us then have this right perspective. Let us hear the word of Jesus Christ. Let us trust in our Heavenly Father, knowing that He will provide all things that we need. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for this word that addresses something that we face day by day in our lives, the use of our money and possessions. And we pray, Father, that Thou wilt work in us through Thy Spirit, that we may be sanctified in that regard, so that we view that which we have in a right and proper way. And give us strength, Father, to trust in Thee and to know that Thou will provide all things that we need. Watch over us now in this new week, and we may go forward strengthened by Thy word and desiring to live to glorify and honor Thee. Bless us in our fellowship together as well, and keep us from sin. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.